Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and welcome to National Exchange, a new series for 2017 from 12th Pier Productions, and a comparative citadel of civility, from which to explore some of the more nuanced cultural and political contentions facing Britain in the here and now. My guest today introduces herself as having been born a long time ago, but after World War II. Her formative years were athwart with stage schools, theatre companies, and repertory, wherein, as actress, stage manager, and briefly, we presume, board-treading electrician, she traversed the length and breadth of Britain's palaces of the performing arts. Radio plays and commercial voiceovers for the BBC would come to complement her substantive television appearances, which included Dr. Finlay's Casebook, Z-Cars, General Hospital, and The Pathfinders, to cherry-pick just a few. From here, her already polymathic output would expand yet further as an assistant to film casting director Paul Lee Lander, most notably on The Italian Job, as a PA to writer S.J. Perelman, and as a Chelsea School of Art-trained interior designer and journalist. In 1990, she joined London Lighthouse as a home support volunteer and managed fundraising musical events at leading venues including St. John's Smith Square, St. Martin in the Fields, and the Aldborough Festival. By 1995, she was concert manager at St. James's Piccadilly, where, shortly before the end of her impressive 19-year tenure in 2014, she and I first met. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great privilege to welcome to National Exchange, Sarah Baxter. Today's core contention relates to the following UK government directive regarding inheritance tax exemptions, and I quote, "Inheritance tax is a tax on the estate, the property, money and possessions of someone who has died. There is normally no inheritance tax to pay if the value of your estate is below the £325,000 threshold, or if you leave everything to your spouse or civil partner, a charity, or a community amateur sports club." End quote. The closing line therein, regarding tax exemption for community amateur sports club donations, will serve as our ignition. And it is our intention in this exchange to further examine the surrounding cultural and political tinderbox of sports versus the arts. Sarah, I should like to begin by asking in what manner this directive first came to your attention, and consequently, why you have brought it to ours.
When my father died in 2008, and then subsequently my mother had to go into care in 2011, on both those occasions, I actually checked on the inheritance tax laws. I did it twice because obviously I'd forgotten what it actually said. So I'm pretty sure that what I was looking at in 2011 was that my mother could leave everything to her spouse, which of course by that time she didn't have civil partner, which she didn't have a charity, and that was it. When I recently, and I honestly can't remember what precipitated it, but I looked it up again, and there was this peculiar sentence, a community amateur sports club. Apart from the actual full content of Her Majesty's government website being rather bureaucratic, it sort of stands out completely and utterly why that exception. And I actually got quite upset about it, as all my friends will witness, and right. Started banging on about it frantically. And that's where it is now and why I started writing letters and being a pest.
Mentioning the letters there, in your communications with the responsible parties thus far, have you been able to ascertain when and how this directive came about and why such a prominent specialist tax exemption emerged in such a covert fashion?
Right. Well, apparently the government sponsorship or support, rather, of a community amateur sports club came about in 2002. But I can almost hand on heart say that based on what I was looking at in 2011, that that clause, a community amateur sports club, as an exemption, just didn't exist. So I have today, as we speak, written another letter in response to one that I've received from the Revenue and Customs to say, well, can you tell me when you actually made this ruling?
Indeed.
Because it certainly wasn't there before. And I'm also rather suspicious that perhaps it had something to do with the 2012 Olympics.
I was going to say, yes.
And the policies to get us all fit and healthy by running around the block and eating cabbage.
In what fashion have you ever experienced that? Not so much running around the block, but...
I certainly got very upset because I was at St. James's Piccadilly at the time and working with people who were performing with virtually no support, backup, finance, whatever.
Since 2012?
Well, before then, actually, because we just kept coming across people who had had their grants removed. And, of course, the money was being creamed off for the Olympics. So I've never been a great sports person anyway, even though I supported West Ham United, which shows I have some sense of humour. I've never followed sports, so I must admit I'm not very sympathetic to it at all. But I thought, well, this is just absolutely balmy. I feel very, very strongly about the money that is awarded to sport. It's not just the money, it's when you get something like the BBC... when you don't follow sport, you really become... I mean, the BBC is saturated with programmes about sport of one type or another. It's always there as an appendage. You get one very sort of brief thing on the end of the London News about the arts. But, you know, the coverage... Sport is well supported. It's well supported by... It's well supported by the commercial world simply because it gets media coverage. Which, of course, the arts don't get.
Could you cherry-pick some examples for me in that regard?
What?
Sporting shows that you feel take up airtime
BBC. It's just basically, generally, you know, it's perfectly all right to cancel programmes. You can cancel Coronation Street if you've got a football match. Well, yes, you know, there indeed, are some people who actually live... for their episode of Coronation Street. So why should they be put out on a Wednesday at 7:30 just simply to watch some obscure football team that nobody's really ever heard of because they're on the other side of the world? And it's just disproportionate. And, you know, like the BBC, we pay our licence fee. So there was absolutely no reason during the Olympics or the World Cup or anything else why we should have football on BBC One, BBC Two, catch-ups on Channel... Three, I think we had then. I don't remember. It's just, you know, we pay our licence fee, and a great chunk of it is actually stuff which doesn't interest not only just not me, but a lot of my friends. So you give up watching television.
You link there the government licence fee to the BBC and to what people are there for being asked to watch. I've always had trouble with the title Department for Culture, Media and Sport,
yes,
given the
course.
Fact that...
Of course, it's a great fault because they're fighting each other in the same department, which is why I originally got in touch with them to ask them about this community amateur sports club, because I perhaps naively thought, oh, well, that's nice, the Treasury's giving them a great dollop of money. Why are they assigning it to sport? Why aren't they assigning it... to the arts in some form or another. You know, I'm sure there's more forms of art than there are forms of sport. I don't know.
There's a semantic difficulty, I think, in the title Culture, Media and Sport, insofar as culture is a somewhat broad initiative to be basing endless policy on. Media, they've sort of got their hands full with criticism of things like the BBC and the licence payers' money. So I guess sport is the only clarified... entity in that title that quite clearly demands respect for its receipt of funding. In terms of examining the actual government directive as a whole, it behoves me to ask you somewhat here, given how I set you up in the introduction, your cultural background and credentials. Am I correct to assume that you take no issue with the value threshold, spouse, civil partner, or charity-related exemptions from inheritance tax? And if so, would you have personally pursued this matter to such an extent had the add-on exemption read, for example, Community Amateur Dramatic Societies?
Yes, I would object. I don't see that it's really any different, because you are actually in our very... It's such a narrow thing to focus those... What I couldn't understand with a community amateur sports club or even an amateur dramatic society, that if you want to benefit from something, things are very well covered by the Charities Commission. So why don't you become a charity, have to abide by the Charity Commission rules, and then benefit under the terms that civil partner or a charity you can leave the money to? I couldn't understand why, you know, one has to have a specific item. So, I would object if it was, you know, give the money to save the giraffes or something. It doesn't matter what it is. That I don't think you can be that specific. What we're talking about here is a large sum of money, and it certainly is, particularly in the south of the country, where people do leave their properties. They are well over the threshold of £365,000. So 40% of what is left can be channeled back into, education, hospitals, things that do the overall community good. I mean, that's an awful lot of money that we're actually sort of losing as taxpayers, as members of, you know, the UK society. We're actually missing out on the, on 40% of, you know, when you work out what an average house price is, £1 million or something daft. So, yeah, that's my objection. The money should be for the benefit of all and for the good. But if we are going to be specific, and we're going to be specific about sport, then we should be specific about the arts. And because that's my world, that's what I want to fight for. So if I make a lot of noise, you know, if they can do this, quite honestly, if they can do this for amateur sports clubs, whatever it is, and it looks like quite a well set up organisation, they can blooming well do it for the arts.
Indeed.
So I shall find out why and how you need to do this.
What would you make of the counter-argument that by funding community amateur sports clubs, you are in fact then benefiting and impacting upon things like the NHS and health in terms of spending in that regard?
Well, I suppose so, but then there are other things in society that benefit from the arts. You know, the arts is always the poor man. The sports, as I say, do benefit a lot from the commercial world. Well, I mean, who speaks for the community arts? You know, we've got Gareth Malone forming choirs all over the place. You know, thank you very much, Gareth. I mean, at least he's doing something. But there are so many things that people could get involved in, and not just amateur dramatics. There's, you know, care homes finding money to finance their entertainments and therapies, wonderful music therapy. The arts budget for prisons has been cut. And anything that gives young people the confidence, you know, they don't have to build muscle to be a success. They can actually sort of gain confidence by, you know, drama, whatever, painting. I mean, the arts is very, very broad. You don't have to be good at one thing. You can find out if you're good at something else.